About 1,000 over 3 years. That's what they announced last year. And obviously their mission is not just in Phil Reitinger's area of NPPD, but also across the entire department. But Reitinger's office is at the center of the civilian agency cybersecurity because it includes US CERT, the National Cybersecurity Division, and several other sub-agencies that focus on these issues. But he says his progress has been limited over the past few years.
We roughly tripled the number of people we had working cybersecurity in the National Cybersecurity Division, and last year we roughly doubled it. But we weren't starting from a significant base, so we're up to about 220 people right now. And in the big scheme of things, from a national perspective, that's almost a set of onesies and twosies. We've worked very hard as we continue to grow, and we will continue to grow. That's going to be a continuing challenge for us.
Now, Reitinger says DHS has a lot of success bringing in people from the private sector and from other agencies. For instance, he points to Bobby Stempfli, the new head of the U.S. CERT who came from DISA.
That's actually a really good thing, that we have this interchange among government agencies and with the private sector, because it leads to a development of joint experience and the creation of a cybersecurity profession that's good for all of us. But where we are right now is that's a zero-sum game. You know, there aren't enough people to go around. You know, although I've got 220 people, in 5 years I'm going to need a heck of a lot more than 220 people. And we know from the announcements coming out of DOD that they're going to need a lot more than that as well. So we just don't have enough of those people yet. And so we absolutely have to build that end-to-end ecosystem. There are a lot of programs that we're working on. We internally in DHS are focusing very clearly now, and Sean Flynn, who's in the back corner, is leading an initiative under our secretary to develop our workforce efforts so that we have that end-to-end process within the Department of Homeland Security and more broadly across the administration.
I'm glad he mentioned the zero-sum game, because this is a little bit robbing from Peter to pay Paul. Eventually, what they need to do is increase the workforce in total, right?
Absolutely. It's not just a matter of, okay, well, I can pull this person in from industry or pull that person.
I mean, that's great to get the right person in the right place, but, I mean.
But overall, as he said, you're not going to go anywhere. Now, Reitinger believes, obviously, the government has some advantages to bringing people in, including that idea of public service or patriotism to come work for the government, as well as the idea that certain things the government does, you're not going to be able to do anywhere else. I mean, NSA, the National Security Agency, you know, we haven't seen it, but we've heard there's some really neat stuff out there. But you just, and DHS and Justice and several other agencies too, but you're not going to do that in the private sector.
Yeah.
But that alone obviously is not going to do it. So there's several different channels or ways agencies are trying to find and even train cybersecurity workers. Kevin Cooley is a command information officer at the Navy's Fleet Cyber Command, another CIO under a different name. He says the social networking sites such as Facebook are prime recruiting venues.
We're trying to attract those young men and women that have just finished high school. And so we've gone through over the last really about 2 years what I'll call kind of like an old people's revelation, okay? All us old guys. And we're like, you know, if we're really going to reach out and touch these people, they're not going to look at USA Jobs. And they're not going to go to a recruiting office and look at a recruiting poster. That's not their world. And so we spent a good bit of time and energy reaching out into the places that are in their world. And those places are in the social network. So they spent a lot of time in places like Facebook and looking at the digital presence that the Navy has, and how easy is it for somebody to go into that environment and go, yeah, you know, I really like to use computers, and what could I do in the Navy that I would find fun? And how easy is it for people to find out about that stuff?
Now, the Navy hopes to hire more than 2,500 uniform and civilian workers to go with the 45,000 already doing this cybersecurity work. Cooley says the Navy is on target to meet its recruiting goals for 2011, which obviously just started in the federal year. Now, but that's just the Navy's plans. Deloitte Consulting, who sponsored this panel discussion this morning in Washington, estimates that between 10 and 30,000 cyber professionals are needed in the Washington metro area alone right now. Now, that's government and industry and other places, you know, academics, nonprofits, people like that. Now, obviously, we've talked a lot about the hiring process here at Federal News Radio. The Office of Personnel Management is working on it. We're expecting to hear something from them actually in November, separate from the cybersecurity issue, just the government hiring process. But in the meantime, agencies should really remember that OPM has given them the ability to use the direct hire authority for cybersecurity people. One of the things that came out at this panel was this complaints about the federal hiring process.
Really?
And I'll have to be honest, I was sitting in the audience kind of scratching my head going, but they have the direct hire authority. OPM gave agencies this power in June 2003. This is not new, but I think what the problem is, people don't realize it's there, or if they realize they're not using it. And that's, I think, a bigger problem than just to sit here and complain that the hiring process takes too long.
And it's one of the things that I often hear is the HR folks say, hold on, we have tools in place, and people aren't using them, and people, so you get this back and forth.
There's some miscommunication happening between the hiring people and the program people. Now the bigger issue, and this is what I think came out during the panel, kind of afterwards as I was talking to some people, is, yeah, you can use the direct hire authority, but you would need a security clearance actually to do any work.
Right.
And again, that's a whole separate issue we could spend the whole show on.
Right.
But that is another backlog issue. It takes 18 to 24 months to get a security clearance issue, and you're limited to who really has security clearances already in the market, in the community. So you're, again, robbing Peter to pay Paul in that sense. Now, DHS specifically has been given what they call Schedule A hiring authority, and that's the idea of you can hire a more direct hire under certain rules and certain regulations. Now, Reitinger says the agency is looking at other potential authorities as well to increase and to improve how they hire cybersecurity professionals.
So we always talk about getting the right people in the right time with the right skills where they're needed. So how are agencies actually doing that so they ensure that they get the right people with the right skills to get their jobs done?
Well, that's obviously going to continue and is a huge issue. There's not a standardized training or even the certification like what you see in doctors and lawyers and plumbers have. There's no boards that regulate cybersecurity skills that are needed. Jim Lewis is a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies and the program manager for the Commission on Cybersecurity for the 44th Presidency. He says the goal will be to professionalize cybersecurity, and he offers one approach to do that.
One is to start matching training to results. So if you get training, if you get a certificate, if you get some kind of degree, does it actually make you better at cybersecurity? The answer should be yes, but we need to test that. We haven't done enough testing. And a lot of this is data. There's some things we know now that work. There's some things that don't work. So do you know how to do the things that work? Again, that's testable. The second thing we want to think about is professionalization. And people hate that word because they want it to be sort of the sort of wild and woolly days of cyberspace. But doctors go through state boards, and lawyers go through state boards, and plumbers go through state boards. And this isn't a federal function, but it's the universities and the states getting together to say, we want to make sure that people who bill themselves as a doctor really do have those skills and have gone through the training. We're going to need to move that direction for cybersecurity.
Now, one way this is actually starting to happen is through the University of Maryland's new Cybersecurity Education and Professional Development Department. Now, it's now bringing in three degree programs, a bachelor's and master's degrees in cybersecurity that are considered more technical, and actually a master's degree in cybersecurity policy. Susan Aldridge is the president of the University of Maryland University College.
As an institution, we've been able to work with industry, work with people from government environments to literally create courses that have the academic content combined with real-world examples that are occurring today in the business community, to change the names so that the students spend a third of their time with the content, a third of their time actually working on real-world situations, a third of their time in a virtual lab that's a cybersecurity lab, that is available anywhere around the world where students can literally practice defensive postures in order to protect their country, their businesses, and their government. We're hiring faculty that have real-world experience that can help these students come out with the knowledge that's needed. We have three new certificate programs that we're also offering for people who already have experience in the field but are coming back to upgrade their skills.
And the efforts are not just limited to college and secondary careers, but there's a big push by the administration around STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math education. In fact, if you remember earlier this week at the White House, there's a science fair kind of to highlight what's going on around STEM issues. Now, Aldridge and others say the goal is to get more high schoolers and even younger people interested in these areas and make cybersecurity a huge piece of their coursework. Right now, you have programmers or engineers who aren't really learning about cybersecurity. It's more of an afterthought. They go, okay, and this is, now you have to make that secure. Oh, how do I do that? Or I'm not really that familiar with the encryption development or encoding or things like that. And what they're finding is when they come into government or even industry, they have to get retrained again around those cybersecurity. They come in with one set of skills and have to get another set of skills added. And what Aldridge and others say is, no, you got to set those skills up as part of the coursework as an engineer, as a programmer, as a computer scientist, as whatever you're doing.
Getting the pool of candidates and increasing that, I keep hearing it more and more the more places that I go, and I think why you're seeing so much focus on education right now at the state and local level even, but it trickles up to finding people you can hire.
There's a whole federal initiative around cybersecurity and education. And one other interesting thing that came out of today's session was, there's a second report on the Cybersecurity Commission for the 44th Presidency, and Jim Lewis mentioned that it's going to be coming soon, but it's maybe coming out in pieces, and that's going to have an educational piece well, and there's several bills on Capitol Hill with educational workforce issues pieces to them as well. So I think this is an issue we're going to see a lot more of over the next 6 or 8 months or more.